Hello, everyone. I'm Coy Wire, thankful to be back with you this Monday, April 17th, with a special edition of CNN 10, one that reminds us that no matter our differences, we have to respect and show love for one another, and we must denounce hate in all its forms whenever we see it. On the Jewish calendar, tonight at sundown is the start of Yom HaShoah, or Holocaust Remembrance Day. The event commemorates the 6 million Jews who were murdered in the Holocaust by the Nazis during World War II and celebrates the lives of those who survived. The Nazi Party, led by Adolf Hitler, came to power in Germany in 1933, and a core element of their ideology was anti-Semitism, or hostility and prejudice against Jewish people. Under Nazi rule, Jews were deprived of nearly all of their rights. They were forced from their homes, sent to areas known as ghettos, with substandard conditions, and then ultimately to facilities all across Europe known as concentration camps. This drone video is of Auschwitz, the largest of those concentration camps, which still stands today as a memorial and museum. The conditions in these camps were brutal and horrific. Jewish prisoners were given little food and water, were forced to work day and night. Some were deemed unfit to work and were killed immediately in facilities intentionally made for murder. By the end of the war, nearly 2 out of every 3 European Jews were killed as part of what Nazi Germany called the final solution. After the concentration camps were liberated in 1945, the world vowed to never forget. We'll hear now from one Holocaust survivor, Edith Gross, who shares her incredible story of survival with CNN.
Edith Gross is a survivor. She beat unimaginable odds, endured the horrors of the Holocaust, and lived to tell her story.
In 1944, we heard that the Nazis are coming. And I remember we went out to Main Street. We were watching when they came in. And they were so tall, and their boots were so shiny. They marched into the city.
Edith was 15 years old, living in occupied Czechoslovakia with her older sister and brothers. Her mother had died, and father had left for America when she was 2.
In the first week, we had to wear a yellow star. If you didn't put it on and you were caught, they killed you right away.
As the Nazi grip on the country tightened, Jews were forced into ghettos and not allowed to run businesses.
They decided, well, my house where I lived happened to fall in the ghetto, so I didn't have to move. But they put in, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 families. It got so crowded that barely was room to sleep on the floor even.
Then they were taken to concentration camps.
They told us, pack everything you can carry, and you have to leave everything behind. And the train, the conditions was unbelievable. A little pail was in the middle of the cattle car, and that was our bathroom, and there were children, there were women, and no privacy of any sort. There was barely room to lie down, and we went for days. It seemed like for years. It was a nightmare, terrible. But finally we arrived to Birkenau, Auschwitz.
Many did not even survive the journey to the camps.
When we arrived, we did see a smoking crematorium, and the smell was terrible. They said, leave everything and get off. I remember lining up and walking from the train into Auschwitz, and there sat Mengele with a little stick in his hand. First for woman and then for man, and he directed the people. This way went to work, and this way went to the crematorium. The woman was lining up. I ran over to my brother and I gave him a big hug, and I could see his eyes. He was so frightened.
Edith managed to follow her sister to the line. She never saw her brother again. After Auschwitz, Edith and her sister were moved to a forced labor camp.
It was very, very hard labor, and there was a quota. And my sister always had back pain, so I was very fast. I always made sure that I made a quota.
As the Russians began to close in on their location, the Nazis moved them again, this time to Stutthof concentration camp.
5 o'clock every morning, they woke us up. We had to line up. Every 10th person was pushed out. And, of course, we knew never to see them again. Waking us up during the night and watching somebody being hung. Sutho was a very, very rough place.
Edith's sister became very ill. Her condition deteriorated rapidly.
I remember she was on the other side of the electric wire, and I was yelling, why my sister's name? I was for a last glance because I knew we're never going to see each other again.
The Nazis, becoming desperate amidst Russian advances, started forcing the Jews on so-called death marches.
We didn't have warm clothes, of course, and no food, no nothing, and we started to march. People who just bent down, they were shot. If you just did anything or you spoke or anything, they were shot. We were walking dead, all over dead, all around us. The German, as we walked through the towns, came out to look the zoo animals. We looked like zoo animals, dirty, and nothing. But nobody showed us food.
They marched from Stutthof to Danzig, finally reaching Königsberg, now known as Kaliningrad in Russia, where they were liberated by Russian troops.
Russian tanks arrived, but we were very lucky because the Russians were very, very good liberators. Right away they had a hospital. Right away there was food. Although we couldn't eat, our stomachs were so shrunk. And they said to us, you are liberated.
Edith slowly made her way back to Czechoslovakia.
When we got to the house where we lived in, it was taken apart brick by brick.
With nothing left for her in her hometown, Edith made the journey over many months to try to leave Europe.
I didn't want to go into America. I wanted to go to Israel. I wanted to live among Jews because I was so with the anti-Semitism. I said, I have to live with Jews. And that's when my father was able to get in touch with me through the Red Cross. We waited 8 months for the visa. In those days, it wasn't like now. Roosevelt didn't want the Jews to come here, to displace Jews, even after the war. So I decided I will come to America.
So she enrolled in school and learned English. Now, Edith has 7 grandchildren and 8 great-grandchildren. Today, as more and more Holocaust survivors pass away, Edith makes it her mission to continue to tell her story.
Since she started speaking, she must have reached directly a few thousand students and community members, residents, and probably indirectly a lot more than that. She was someone who experienced the worst evil in the world, yet she works to bring light to other people in her surroundings. That's what Judaism is all about.
She says if she only changes one mind, she's accomplished something.
Stop hate and take people the way they are. You know, and judge people what they are, not by religion, not by any color.
Through the Chabad organization in the town of Islip, Long Island, a community center was dedicated in Edith's honor. She recently took a trip to Israel, where she visited the Western Wall and Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial. Though it has been 80 years since that horrible time, all that she has lost will always remain.
When I hear Holocaust survivors saying, I'll forgive and forget, no, there is no such a thing. I will never forget, forgive, and definitely not forget.